I am an alderman, though I call myself Earl Uhtred, which is the same thing, and the fading parchments are proof of what I own. The law says I own that land, and the law, we are told, is what makes us men under God instead of beasts in the ditch. But the law does not help me take back my land. The law wants compromise. The law thinks money will compensate for loss. The law, above all, fears the blood feud. But I am Uhtred, son of Uhtred, and this is the tale of a blood feud. It is a tale of how I will take from my enemy what the law says is mine. And it is the tale of a woman and of her father, a king. He was my king, and all that I have I owe to him. The food that I eat, the hall where I live, and the swords of my men, all came from Alfred, my king, who hated me. This story begins long before I met Alfred. It begins when I was 9 years old and first saw the Danes. It was the year 866, and I was not called Uhtred then, but Osbert, for I was my father's second son, and it was the eldest who took the name Uhtred. My brother was 17 then, tall and well-built, with our family's fair hair and my father's morose face. The day I first saw the Danes, we were riding along the seashore with hawks on our wrists. There was my father's brother, my brother, myself, and a dozen retainers. It was autumn. The sea cliffs were thick with the last growth of summer. There were seals on the rocks, and a host of seabirds wheeling and shrieking, too many to let the hawks off their leashes. We rowed till we came to the crisscrossing shallows that rippled between our land and Lindisfarne, the Holy Island, and I remember staring across the water at the broken walls of the abbey. The Danes had plundered it, but that had been many years before I was born. And though the monks were living there again, the monastery had never regained its former glory. I also remember that day as beautiful, and perhaps it was. Perhaps it rained, but I do not think so. The sun shone, the seas were low, the breakers gentle, and the world happy. The hawk's claws gripped my wrist through the leather sleeve, her hooded head twitching because she could hear the cries of the white birds. We had left the fortress in the forenoon, riding north, and though we carried hawks, we did not ride to hunt, but rather so my father could make up his mind. We ruled this land. My father, Ealdorman Uhtred, was lord of everything south of the Tweed and north of the Tyne. But we did have a king in Northumbria, and his name, like mine, was Osbert. He lived to the south of us, rarely came north, and did not bother us. But now a man called Ela wanted the throne, and Ela, who was an ealdorman from the hills west of Viofwick, had raised an army to challenge Osbert, and had sent gifts to my father to encourage his support. My father, I realise now, held the fate of the rebellion in his grip. I wanted him to support Osbert, for no other reason than the rightful king shared my name, and foolishly, at 9 years old, I believed any man called Osbert must be noble, good, and brave. In truth, Osbert was a dribbling fool, but he was the king, and my father was reluctant to abandon him. But Osbert had sent no gifts and had shown no respect, while Ela had, and so my father worried. At a moment's notice, we could lead 150 men to war, all well-armed, and, given a month, we could swell that force to over 400 foemen. So whichever man we supported would be the king, and grateful to us. Or so we thought. And then I saw them. 3 ships. In my memory, they slide from a bank of sea mist, and perhaps they did. But memory is a faulty thing, and my other images of that day are of a clear, cloudless sky. So perhaps there was no mist. But it seems to me that one moment the sea was empty, and the next there were 3 ships coming from the south. Beautiful